Hello, everyone. Come on in the house. Coach Judith here. I am going to be changing my name while you guys come on in. That's so funny. This is always the hardest part. There I go. Rename. I am No BS Coach Judith. And in the house tonight is the lovely Coach Christy. She's my wingman tonight. This is a life coaching call. This call, you needed to have submitted your request in via an email. So the attendees have already been pre-selected, and I am going to call the names when I find, There we go. Here we go. We have Carol, Jennifer, Catherine, and Alexis. If you guys will go ahead and raise your hands, I will be calling you in no particular order. Coach Christy, I think I need you to raise your hand. Yep, there we go. I'm going to promote you to panelist. Is that right, Christy? Can everyone hear me okay? Can I get a thumbs up if you can hear me? Great. Okay, so I've got my name changed. Christy, did I do that right, calling you up? Hey, Cheryl Kelly, good to see you in the house tonight. All right, make sure you have yourself set to everyone on the Zoom chat. It's a little blue box down there. If you have it to host and panelists, that's the only people that will see your chat. Did you know that? So please be sure to mark yourself to everyone so that everyone can see what you have to say. Again, my name is Coach Judith. I'm one of the one-on-one coaches with the No BS Weight Loss Program. I coach private clients for No BS, and I'm one of your Ask Coaches coaches, and I do other things behind the scenes for No BS. I have been a coach here for, it's going to be 3 years in July, and I can't even believe it. I feel like I've really just kind of moved into my own here this past 6 months. So it doesn't even seem possible that it's been 3 years, but I've been a member of No BS since 2017. I've lost 80 pounds, and it's nice to see you too, Ross P. Aw. And let's see. So I've talked about the chat. Coach Christy's not yelling at you. She is talking in all caps tonight. She's going to be dropping links. And if you have any questions, she's just going to be your wing person in the chat tonight as well, taking care of all of us. So we've got the chat. We've got ourselves set to everyone. We've got our attendees with their hands raised. And I do want to talk a little bit about while you're coming into that. No, yes, y'all, camp. The No BS, No Excuses Camp deadline to save yourself $100 is coming up. I want to remind you, there's only 28 days in February. So when I say on March 1st, it goes up. Remember, there are 28 days this year. Is it always 28? That leap year and that whole January, that knuckle thing where you do the, yeah, that's not me. So I rely on the calendar. I did look at that to tell you. If you get in, like go ahead and go to camp. The virtual camp is amazing. Corinne puts on the absolute best show there is. Absolutely the best. You are going to feel connected. You can work on your excuses. Y'all just put in the chat, what are some excuses you have that are getting in your way of your weight loss goals? Let's just fire those up while I talk about camp and let you know again. Christy's going to drop in the chat the link to how to register if you were interested in that. And I also want to tell you too, because I know we have a lot of newbies in this group, that Corinne has a business program. And not only is she running a camp for the weight loss membership, there's a camp for the business membership. And let me scroll. I'm going to make sure I say this right. It is called the Get It Done Business Bootcamp. And you do not have to be a member to join that. If you want to go to her event. So Christy's going to drop the link to that. So remember, there's two things. We've got the weight loss camp. Make sure I don't want anyone to get confused. And then we have the business boot camp. All right. With that said, Christy, is there anything I'm not remembering to mention here in the beginning? I think we're ready to rock and roll with some chat. I feel like my anxiety has come down just a little bit. I've been coaching all day, so I think I'm all warmed up for our members tonight. So I love this. Princess Caroline. You know I had to say that out loud. Make sure your name is over here. Are Caroline, are you Catherine? I have a Carol. Okay. Caroline, are you Catherine? Can you confirm? I'm bringing you up. All right. I'm trying to. Promoting you to panelist.
Oop.
Oop. There you are, Caroline. Hey.
It's Catherine. Oh. Maybe okay. You have another Caroline after me.
Did it say that? I am not even like, I know I did not. Maybe I did imagine that because I looked at it carefully. Okay, Catherine. I got the princess right.
You did. I don't look like a princess today, but
you look amazing. Look at that photo behind you. Is that the angel?
That's a painting, actually, that son did. Yeah, that's a...
Oh, wow.
Original work of art that my son did.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing. All right. Well, tell me, what are we coaching on tonight?
I just noticed on the email that I received back from Coach Julie saying that I was selected for tonight, there was a little blurb at the end of her email, and that's not me. So I don't know if that little blurb was just an example or if it was someone else's story, but it's not my story. So
that's okay, just, because you know what? I try not to read those, so I don't try to solve your problem.
So just wanted to, you know, just in case you had some sort of like a little background, we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
So what I am excited to talk about is, so I've been a member since September of last year. I forget what it was called, the kickoff or reset. I don't remember. So in September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was this September, and one of my character traits is that I love to get all in. Like I thought I was a deep dive diva. I love to dive into things. I love to have, you know, like all of the colored pens and the, you know, the sticky notes and join all the groups and print all the papers and make all the binders. And I have just something that follows through in different areas of my life. So why I feel it's more appropriate as a life coaching than a weight loss coaching is I just stop. So I won't even say halfway. I would say Candy. Yeah, that's me too, Candy. It's something I'm actually working on with a therapist. And I've been quote unquote a people pleaser for my entire life. I don't like that term, but I think it's something that people kind of relate to. It's sort of like a common statement. So I've been a people pleaser all my life. I have a very domineering mother. I have a domineering husband, like an alpha type character. So in my life, I've always been attracted to people who have that quality, like somebody who, like an alpha. And I find that that's where I start to almost rebel against the things I'm trying to accomplish. And I've been told it could be considered a fear of failure, rebellion, self-sabotage. But what I'm trying to really get to, and I don't expect you to to cure me in the next 10 minutes, but one thing I've really, really just loved about this whole community is just that everybody out there, not everybody, but like we're so similar. There's so many girls out there who have similar situations that they've never had an opportunity to share it with a group, with a community. And it's like, you know, I don't know y'all. And I'm just like telling you my life story. And to me, it just seems normal.
I know. I'm saying that like, we're just like having a conversation here.
Exactly. Like, there could be like 3,000 people on the call. I have no idea, but it doesn't matter. It's just like, I feel like you specifically, Judith, and your team, and Corinne, it's just like, I cannot get over the amount of love that you show to the membership and the community. It's just, and it's so genuine. It's so natural. It's just amazing. Aww.
Well, thank you for saying that, because we do love you guys, and we all of us coaches relate to where you're at. I mean, you know, you see kind of the painted version. Like, you don't know all of my story. I would love to sit here and tell you my story, but you know, we've walked some miles in our shoes too, and we have some wisdom. So, it's an honor. It really is. Like, I'm going to get emotional here, but it is an honor to serve and to help others, on their journey, and to find that you're not broken and it's not a problem, and that you are normal and there is a way through this. So when you're thinking about rebelling, right? A rebelling against the thing I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
What are the thoughts? What's coming up in your brain when you're thinking this way? When you're can you give me an example?
I'll use my mom as an example. So I have a brother that's 15 months younger than me, and he had ADHD. He's still, you know, had learning disabilities, but mainly ADHD. Like, back in those days, it was hyperactivity, they used to call it. And so he usurped all of my mother's energy and attention. And so I was the good girl. So I always had to act well, look well, perform well, you know, perfectionist, you know, kind of traits. Like, I always had to be presentable, and because my brother was the bad one. So I had to offset that. So that being said, like, always having to please and please and please and please and look for affirmation and look for validation in anything I did scholastically, you know, cheerleading, sports, boyfriend, everything had to, like, she had to approve.
Okay.
So where I've gotten recently, somebody kind of brought it top of mind that maybe I'm rebelling. It's not something I've ever thought of before. It's like, well, I feel like, okay, well, all of you people who are trying to control me, and one of them is my husband too, he's just a domineering type of person. He's not beating me or anything like that, but he's just a very strong character, and he wants me to do well, wants me to succeed. So in his eyes, he's helping me, he's supporting me. But
what's the story you tell yourself when
I tell myself that he's my mom and he's treating me the same way as my mother did and does.
All right. This is a good place to stop right here. Like, okay. He's not your mom.
No, I know.
Right. He's your husband, and he wants you to do well. And you, like, see that for face value. And you do believe that?
Yes, I do.
But your thought is, he's trying to control me like my mom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so how does this relate to the pins and, like, being a deep dive diva? Like, help me bridge this gap. Where are we rebelling?
Well, where I'm rebelling is that, like, I've gotten so excited about this new toy, but now that I realize it's going to take me some work to make this toy work, it's, and I'm going to have to continue to have success in this path, I stop, because I'm rebelling against that audience who's watching me.
Okay, who's watching you?
In my eyes, you know, my husband, my mother, my friends, you know, like, if I start losing all this weight and eating better, everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, you look great, Catherine, you know, losing weight and everything. And it's going to be like, then that's going to freak me out.
Yeah. But what's the problem with them making comments? I mean, let's just say they are. What if they're not looking at you? What if that's the story you're telling yourself, that they're all looking at me? But here's the thing. People are looking. Mm-hmm. That's why I like want to give that to you as a circumstance. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They're looking. Maybe they'll say words, maybe they won't.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person you're rebelling against is who? I can't see. Did you just point to your chest?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm starting again, just even through listening to different coaching calls, comments on Facebook and so on, I'm starting to really, after 54 years, starting to see that, like, it's about time that I took off that people-pleasing hat and started to focus on myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the person that I need to be responsible to. I'm the person I need to look up to and be proud of. And it's just exhausting trying to get all of that from others. It's exhausting. It's draining. And it's so, like, unfulfilling.
Yeah. And what if you are managing this like you should, like you need to be? You have awareness. You understand mm-hmm. that you're only rebelling against yourself,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere in your brain, like having that, you know, my thoughts are, one, I want to recommend a book. The book, What Happened to You? Dr. Bruce Perry could be helpful. Okay. Explains a lot about development of the brain and how we as children start telling stories, right? You have very much awareness around having a younger brother who got attention because of his condition. And then your brain started one day telling a story. And then that story built upon another story, built upon another story over a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Thinking that we're going to fix this in one call is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have awareness that you want to create change. And so it's understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are going to look at me and people may say words, but my work is validating me. My work is understanding my tendency is to like what I'm making it mean when I hit success.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make it mean when you are doing something you like and you're having success?
What do I make it mean now? I make it mean probably something very negative, which I don't usually consider myself a negative person. I consider myself a positive person, but I would negatively spin that I don't deserve it.
Hmm. And is that true?
No.
Right. What do you deserve?
I deserve what every woman in this whole community deserves. I deserve to be happy, healthy, loved, appreciated, proud of myself. Mm-hmm. I deserve all those things.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. Every single one of us. Every single one of us.
Yes. To the people in the back.
To the people in the back. Clutch my pearls.
You all deserve.
We do.
Your best life.
Yeah.
So what's the problem here?
Well, I think another part of the problem is just these stupid old shitty thoughts that I get.
Yes.
I'm 54. I'm too old to lose weight. I'm perimenopause. It'll never happen because even my gynecologist told me that, well, just get used to it. You know, you're going to go into menopause now. Like, forget about it. And he's a medical doctor, which I wish I could just like smack him. But.
Yeah. But like you get to decide who you want to listen to, Catherine.
Yes. Yes.
You get to decide. And here's the thing. It's going to be managing your mind, like giving you the circumstance of being I'm a people pleaser too. I have done a lot of work this past couple of years on breaking down that barrier. Like my nervous system was set to please everyone. And I'm still working on that in so many levels. So that's why I think the book is going to be helpful. If anything, it's going to give you more insight into like how understanding you and having compassion for you and then you tell yourself. And then, I mean, Corinne has the other the best tool ever. And that's the four N's. Like, yeah, I notice I'm thinking I don't deserve it. It's normal for me to think this way.
Yes.
Bullshit story I've told myself for my life. And I've always thought that I had to be below my brother or quieter or better or whatever. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I'm just me. My next best thought is I'm becoming someone who no longer rebels against herself, becoming the woman who's choosing what she wants to believe and who she wants to be. And you get to create this. You get to create the result of your life, period. Nobody else is there. And having that compassion component for yourself, because the tendency is always going to be to please. Mm-hmm. And then noticing and normalizing. And then just, maybe it's just spending time just noticing. And change happens over time. It's not going to mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. And even your doctor's words. Like, just let that fly out the other end. We've got other
things. Oh, I did. I'm like, how could you even say something like that? You don't know everything about me, you know? You just, that's a blanket statement. No. And I've seen so many comments in Facebook, especially, you know, girls older than me that have lost weight. I'm like, well, then it's obviously possible. Because every single one of us women goes through menopause. We have no choice. Like, you either happen, you know, at one stage or another. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
It's part of life.
Yeah. And the more we normalize and accept that, all of us women, the more we're like, yeah, and it's not a problem. This is a normal part of aging. And what's going to matter is how I manage my thoughts around menopause. Because if I'm believing some bullshit, it's not going to be helpful. What's going to be helpful is managing the story in my brain and the food I put in my mouth and mm-hmm. my doable hunger, period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is one thing you want to walk away from this call with? Like, why are you doing these things? You recognize why you're doing it, because you're telling yourself you don't deserve it in some way that's shitty.
Yes.
And we 100% have to get in there and be active participants in our life. We have to talk to ourselves like we are somebody and that we do matter and that what we want matters, period. Mm-hmm. And we have to make every effort to stand up to old shitty and let new hotness in, embrace her, welcome her. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel awkward. What other words can we come up with? It's going to feel different because the habit, the ritual, the routine, mm-hmm. that's just the familiar path. And when we're making new thoughts, they're going to feel weird. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. Weird is not a problem. Just normalizing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It has been an honor. Again, thank you for your words and for showing up and for helping other women. Because I did see a whole bunch of hearts fly up and I have the comments covered so I don't get distracted.
Yeah, I didn't. So I actually have a question on that. The comments, when you go back to watch a pre-recorded, so this will be on the membership site in a couple of days. Is there any way to go back and see the comment?
100%. Okay. So it's the, so you'll see the transcript and you'll see the comments. They're both populated on every replay. So it's a good question, right?
Cause there was quite a few that I was trying not to look at, but I want to go back and have a chance to look at them.
The four ends, normalizing, like everything that you're thinking, feeling is normal for you, and understand why, and just get into the next best thinking, because you have a great understanding for yourself. You see it. You see the patterns. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to get stuck in it, but that's where you got to just hold that space.
Right.
Yeah. This is that space. And this is, I'm going to take micro steps forward. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be big.
Thank you so much, Judith.
You're welcome so much.
Thank you so
much. In the Facebook group.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. Oh, thank you. Putting her back down. Okay, y'all. Oh, I love my job. I do need to tell y'all, if you hear a cow mooing, I live in the middle of a cow pasture and they took out 8 calves. So the mamas are missing their babies. And we have a guest over here in the corner. don't know if y'all can see her way past my microphone there in the corner is 8-pound Lucy. And she was doing her 7 o'clock at night march where she's ready to go to bed. There's no one else in the hall, in the house tonight. So Carol, I'm promoting you to panelist. So I'm glad to see that she has tucked herself away in the corner and she is sleeping like a baby. And that's good news for all of us. Hello, Carol.
Hi.
Hey, it's nice to meet you.
Let's see. You too.
All right. Make sure your audio is good. It's coming in a little choppy.
Yeah, yours has been cutting out a few times, but not too bad. Is it better now?
I think I can hear you better now. Yep. What are we coaching on tonight? Let's give it a go.
So I have a daughter who's not talking to me right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just very painful to me. And I can like self-coach at times. I can tell myself like, this is more about her than me, but my thoughts just keep going to like, what if she never talks to me again? Like she's blocked my phone and I feel like I can't even, I mean, obviously she doesn't want my texts or calls, but it just feels like there's nothing I can do to make the situation better.
Is that true? I mean, you want to get in the action line and like text her and message her.
Right.
And
text her. I mean, obviously she thinks that it's making it better to not talk to me right now.
What else could she be thinking?
I don't even know.
Maybe she doesn't know what to say. Maybe she needs a minute.
That's true. Yeah. And in my good moments, I can, yeah, like I said, I can tell myself that this is more about her than me. I have other kids and they're still talking to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had thoughts about parents whose kids aren't talking to them. And now I'm one of them. And I'm just like, I never thought it would be.
Sometimes kids don't talk to their parents. What if that's kind of normal?
I didn't think that was normal.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's in her 30s.
Mm-hmm. What if it was normal? Like I went through a period where I didn't talk to my parents. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to take care of my feelings. Mm-hmm. Like just kind of offering that like this another side. And I still loved them. It wasn't because I didn't love them. What story does your brain tell you? What are you making it mean that she's not talking to you?
That I've done something wrong. And that she's never going to talk to me again.
Okay. But what if you didn't do anything wrong?
It's hard to go there.
Okay. So what's a baby step? The circumstance is my daughter hasn't spoken to me.
Isn't talking to me, right.
Since when?
Since October.
Since October. Okay. Have you messaged her?
Yeah, but she's got her messages blocked. Like I still am messaging her just because I decided for me it felt better to reach out even if she wasn't getting it.
Yeah. So how are you taking care of yourself during this time, Carol? When your daughter's not returning communication?
I mean, self-care. I exercise, I do yoga. I'm trying to eat better. Because that some days I am able to, you know, like she needs to take this time and this is what she needs. And then other days, it's like the fear is the worst thing that keeps coming back. The fear that she's, that this won't ever change.
And so when you have the fear, what do you do?
I don't know if I have a routine, or I don't have a way of dealing with it. That's probably the problem.
So do you, you know, we have feelings. Like it's going to be normal that your brain, because it's just trying to predict, right? We're trying to find some certainty.
Right.
It's really kind of an effective coping strategy that the brain does to like go worst case scenario.
Yeah. But
the problem is that we're left with all of these physical sensations in our body, right? Because when we get into fear and worry, and then we start kind of collapsing and our nervous system starts kind of shutting down and we start believing, right? Like worst case scenario. That's just our job, is to one, recognize that and be like, of course I would be feeling fear because my brain is telling a story right now. It's trying to predict the outcome of this. And there's no way of predicting.
Right.
There's no way. She could call tomorrow. She could call in a year. We don't know. But here's what I do know, like telling yourself, I love my daughter. I'm willing to communicate with her when she's ready on her time. It's just her timeline and my timeline don't match right now.
No, they don't.
Yeah. I like that you almost like you had a nice laugh there.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, finding some humor in this can be relieving to the nervous system, having a laugh. Yeah. What are you thinking?
I like that thought to come up with a thought that feels good to answer anytime I have the fear come up.
Yes. This makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm missing her. I'm wanting to communicate with her. This is normal. Like, what if nothing has gone wrong? Like, your brain's going to want to try and find all the reasons, all the evidence. It's going to stack it up.
Right.
But your practice and your best zone, if you will, is going to be practicing having faith and belief that you love your daughter and she loves you. And right now, we're just not on the same timeline. This is just not this hurts right now. Course. I just love her and I can love her through this and I can love myself too.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. And managing old shitty and being with the emotion when it comes in, like not letting the feelings be a problem so much. We want to avoid them, and then the more we avoid it, the kind of what we resist persists.
Uh-huh.
So you might want to journal on like letting your brain go to worst case scenario, letting your brain on paper.
Right.
Then finding relief. And here's how I'm going to love myself. And here's how I love her. And writing like this love story that you still love your daughter. You want to talk to her. And you can write it down and spend that time. But allowing yourself that emotional release could also be very helpful. So we're not walking around carrying that tension. Does that make sense when I say that? Like letting,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like having, yeah, a good time. Having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like the journaling. I haven't done a lot of writing. So mm-hmm. that obviously I need to do some more, come mm-hmm. up with some more normalizing thoughts.
Yeah. I see, like, you're looking down at the chat. I bet someone in the chat has some insight to offer there as well. But taking care of you and just being willing and ready when she's ready. Like, there's no rush. It's kind of like weight loss. The more we rush and try to get there, the harder it feels because we think there is going to be better than here.
Mm-hmm.
Happening for you, It's practicing patience. It's like the ultimate act of a parental love. Like I can love us both through this right now. I have enough love in my heart. And when I open my heart up and I feel expansive for what I love for my daughter, I can get through this.
I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You hang in there. And I know you're not alone. I'm in Ask Coaches and I see in the Facebook group. And the reason, like, to normalize this, like, kids go through periods. Kids don't have thought work. Like, I wish I had met Corinne, you know, here I go, 5-10 years earlier, so that I could have taught my kids while they were still under the roof.
Yeah.
Thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
But we have a great capacity for love. You lean into that. That's your superpower, Mom.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Right. I see Alexis. I'm going to promote you to panelist. And when I say normal, it's normalizing it for, you know, sometimes kids don't talk. I don't know that I've ever, I don't know, but making it normal for you and not letting it be a problem. Because the more we focus on the problem or making it a problem, the more disconnected we are from feeling our love, from opening our body up to remembering how much we love our children. And like, yeah, this sucks right now. I love my kid and I'm just going to be ready when they're ready. All right. Alexis, how are you?
Good. Good.
Good. What are we coaching on tonight?
So, my husband is kind and faithful. That's very important to me. And we really get along, and everything I thought was going swimmingly until about a year ago, money started disappearing from our bank account. And first he was giving me really plausible reasons that made complete sense. And the worst part is that he would look me in the eyes. And I, at one point I said to him, listen, either you're gambling or you're doing drugs, because money cannot be disappearing like this. The worst part is he looked me in the eyes and swore to me that no, he wasn't doing anything. And then I found out that he went to this place that lends money at a 47% interest rate. I'm talking calmly right now.
Really are.
Yeah. But someone like me who like pays every bill and will walk back to a store if there's a 25-cent discrepancy. Anyway, so first it was just $4,000 on top of the money that went missing from our account. And again, he looked me in the eyes and swore to me that nothing was wrong. Long story short, turned out it was $24,000 in total. Mm-hmm. My issue is, I did briefly kick him out. I took him back. I can tell now that he's not doing it, but I have this two issues. How do I ever trust him again? Because he looked me in the eyes. I don't know what I'm more bothered about, the money, which I'm bothered about, and that he looked me in the eyes and lied to me, because that's just not the kind of relationship that I thought we were having. And that's not how he ever was years before. So, and then I'm having this, like, so I have to keep it together now for him, because I don't want to like drive him back into his addiction. So I'm like pretending like I'm putting on a happy face, but these snippets of anger come out. Like yesterday, somehow, I don't know how, we the word Pinocchio came up, and I said, oh, you should know a lot about Pinocchio. Like, you know, these like snippets of anger and trusting again.
Okay. This is, I see, I I see this. I'm typing myself a little note here. Okay. So let me ask you this. When the money was disappearing, like you had your eyes laid on the account, you knew right away.
Mm-hmm.
4K walking out the door. And he was like, there's not a problem. And what was your thought?
Well, at first, the reasons he gave me all made sense. The prices have increased of the material that he was getting. Then the client changed their mind. You know, the stuff like that does happen. So I was feeling inside that nothing is wrong. And then, I was feeling that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And when he would look me in the eyes and tell me that it wasn't, I thought, well, because we're so, before this happened, we think alike, we can look at each other and like figure out, you know, like what we're thinking. We have everything in common. So I just assumed, because I wouldn't lie. Don't get me wrong. Have I lied to my boss? Sure. Yeah, the alarm didn't go off. But you don't lie to your inner circle. At least that's my, like, you don't lie to who's around you, right? Like you know what I'm talking about. But so that's why I was not believing myself, because I just assumed he was exactly like me, which obviously he's not.
Yeah. So then the second month, and that I'm thinking it must have taken 6 months to ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all the while your gut is telling you this is not matching up.
And then when the money stopped, so he cleaned out our savings. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about this money that he had taken out for quite a while. And all this interest is building and building and building and building. And then someone ended up calling, and that's how I found out about it.
Mm. I guess my thought is, like, so who are you angry at?
Maybe a little myself, but I'm more angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, listen, like on one hand, I think I shouldn't have a right to say anything about addiction because I have a food addiction. So, you know, but I don't hurt other people, So my actions, you know, if I choose to overeat and put on weight or whatever, that's, you know, I'm only hurting myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really trying hard to understand, and it's really hard for me. As I said, I'm a very frugal person. Mm-hmm. So gambling, like, my brain doesn't compute that. Like, to me, that's kind of like a form of insanity.
Yeah, but why does it make sense that he was gambling? Why does it make sense?
It doesn't.
Because he has a human brain.
Okay.
Dopamine hits.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Avoiding the feelings, like it feels good. And then we buffer and then we do more things because we get the hit, like we win and we think we're going to win more.
Right. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. It just keeps going round and round. It's kind of like donuts, you know, round like a donut. Like, we just like to eat them because they taste good. And then we feel bad. Then we eat more donuts. And you know, then before you know it, we've put on 50 pounds and he's in debt. And then there's relationship issues. So I want to come back to, because I did read yours and it was about anger and how this anger is coming out. And I think for you being really granular with yourself and getting into the anger and who you're mad at and why you're mad. What is this anger wanting? What does anger represent? Like, if you think about the feeling of
sadness, it's always sadness underneath.
Mm-hmm. Why are we feeling sad?
Well, because my marriage isn't how I thought that it was. And he's not, mm-hmm. I can't believe that he would hurt me. I just, my brain just, I can't believe that he would hurt me.
Okay. So there's two thoughts there. Anger is a feeling that tells us a boundary has been crossed. Anger lets us know that a boundary has been crossed somewhere. And whether maybe this was never a spoken boundary for you, maybe you never said, hey, by the way, Mr. Husband, married, love of my life, you may not gamble and spend all of our money. Did you ever say those words to him?
No, because I just didn't think that he would do that.
Right. So there's that component. Like, so you had a boundary that was never spoken. You earlier you called it an assumption, and because you assumed he was like me.
Right. Because what you're very right. Because one of the things was when we first got married, I said, listen, you ever cheat? Like, you don't understand. Like, you're so out the door. Like, that was a spoken boundary. And that is something that is like, for me, that's like a deal breaker. So in that sense, I didn't say that. I just assumed that he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And we know what happens when we assume.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ass out of you and me. Yeah.
There we go. And, you know, and I'm not picking his side either, but trying to get you, help your brain get to a neutral place. Okay. So this was something I never said to him. I never said, like, but there was a boundary crossed because you also didn't think he would lie to you. It might make sense. Like, we could rationalize like why it makes sense that he lied and all the things, because you asked questions and he said words, but you also had a gut feeling. And so my point is I want to make sure that you're trusting yourself and your judgment. Yes.
So from now on, I will always do that. Yeah. Yeah.
That trusting your intuition and being willing to not risk, you were probably thinking like conflict, or I don't want him to think I don't trust him or whatever. But if you guys aren't in any kind of counseling, I also would encourage that. Like, that's just a little side note. I don't know if it's coach, I can tell you that, but offering that to you, like getting your finances straight. Like, if you're going to stay in this marriage, if you love him and you want to stay in this marriage, making sure that you get the finances in order, and that maybe he doesn't have access to your funds. Maybe we have some kind of understanding, but there are financial consultants. I think there's a 1-800 gambling hotline where you could probably get some free advice, because that's part of places that have lottery stuff. They also have to have gambling services to provide, like they pay money to make sure that's. I would totally do that. And have you communicated your feelings to him?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he said that he didn't tell me because at this point he was so mortified and so embarrassed and so ashamed. And then he kept thinking he would win all the money back and then everything would be okay. And then I would, you know, and so that's like another issue too now, where I'm thinking someone who does have an addiction, like, do they always have it? Like, is this something I'm going to always like be on? And something that I always dealt with prior to meeting him was severe anxiety. And then I met him and then my anxiety went away because I felt 100% safe. Well, now my anxiety is like completely back. Mm-hmm. And I just hate this feeling of just like, you know, every day, like worrying and wondering. And, you know, I just hate that feeling.
That makes sense. Right? That you would be feeling that way. And so recognizing like a lot of this is going to come back to emotional support for yourself and validating your feelings, like allowing the negative feelings to be there and understanding, like journaling about what you're angry about, journaling, like, and you can be mad at yourself. It's not going to be like getting it out. Like, yeah, I kind of take some responsibility for this too, because I didn't tell him like, and I didn't know, I just assumed. And I'm learning that a boundary was crossed and I know what's a priority to me. And probably there's a lot of security attached to money, right? Because that money also helps you feel secure because it helps pay the bills. It keeps you, you said something about you're very frugal because you're very thoughtful about money, and feeling safe with him and having an agreement that is very clear around boundaries around money would also be helpful, especially if you're choosing to stay, if you're going to stay in the marriage. That's kind of like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Which we've established. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions for me? Like, I validate your, like, you get to feel all your feelings.
I guess it's yeah, just how do you like trust again? Like how do you trust again?
Trust is built over time.
Okay.
Like you have every right to be concerned and trusting your gut.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. I just got it. Yeah. It's not even so much about trusting him. It's trusting myself. Yeah. Okay.
100 times 1,000% right there.
Right. Cause I'll know. And I knew last time I'll know. Yeah.
You knew.
Yeah.
You knew things were going off in your brain, but you hesitated, you delayed.
Yes.
So trusting. Oh,
thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome so much. Thank you for sharing and take care of yourself. And I hope to see you in the Facebook group.
I'm not much on Facebook. Okay. I'm not a, you know.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome. And if you want to ever need to write back in to ask coaches, you know, you can tag me in it. You can tag Christy. You can tag it if any of us
okay. Have
a specific question. If you've ever been on a call and you want to follow up.
Right.
Do that.
You know, you actually helped me tremendously because it's not about trusting him. It's now. And I do have that. And I think it's true. You know, they say the woman always knows, you know, like women's intuition. So yeah, it's really about, yeah, trusting myself.
I want to also suggest in the relationships course, Corinne has a lot of good information in there about boundaries and how you can set them up, like implicit and explicit boundaries, spoken, unspoken. Now, it may be about people, but it is about us, right? It's not about money per se, but it's still, you'll be able to weave it together for yourself and see it is about trusting yourself.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alexis. Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye.
Oh, I think I just hit the wrong button. Oh, Christy, if something goes weird, I'm going to put you back down to attendee. I hit record to local files, Christy. I don't know that it changed anything. Yikes, but it's still recording. So there's that. All right. We have one last hand. Jennifer, I'm going to promote you to panelist. Okay. Oh, I did see this right here. I see Jean that says it still looks good. So my little button is still glowing over here too. So it's still good. All right. Jennifer is coming up. She is our last coaching for the night. Hey.
Hi.
Oh my goodness. I just have to start off right away. Like, I love your hair.
Oh, thank you. I am so nervous. I can't believe I'm nervous.
Let's take a breath and we'll talk about your hair and that cool rug in the background.
Oh, that old thing. I have been to my hairdresser two times in the last 2 weeks, and she's taking me in again one more time because I was born a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting older, so my hair is getting darker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. I'm like, I'm gonna dye a blonde, please. So she, but the back of my hair, she has, because I didn't want to do all of it. So the back of my hair is a little dark. So, you know, my hairdresser and I are really getting close.
Well, it's okay. We'll talk about hair for a minute so we can help both our nerves settle. Like tomorrow I get my hair done. I was like, really? I miss getting my hair done for this call by one day because like the grays are in. So, but your color, I think it looks amazing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I will let Shelly know that Coach Judith said that my hair looks amazing.
I would love that. All right, Jennifer, what are we coaching on tonight?
Okay. Actually, I think maybe you don't know. You do know a little bit about this because after I wrote on Facebook, not in the main group, in the drinking group. I'm 47 years old and my kids are both leaving home. I realized through journaling that the biggest problem I have with all of this is I don't trust myself when I'm alone. I'm happy for my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, my My daughter's moving 1,890 miles away from me.
Okay.
And my son's going off to get his bachelor's degree. He's finishing his associate's degree at the local college, and he's on the dean's list, and he's wonderful. My daughter has no direction, but I told her a long time ago, I said, you know what, pick a direction and just move in it, because she's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to move on. So she's doing what I told her to do. And the problem that I have is that I don't trust me. I want more for my life, but I don't know what that more is.
Okay.
And then left to my own devices alone, I am so destructive to me. I overeat, I'll overdrink. And this thought that I have in my head is that, okay, there's nobody here. I'm not important anymore. And that's not fair to put on my children.
It's a, who else is it not fair to put on?
I guess me. God, that hurt. Sorry.
No, you just hold on a minute. I'm remembering your post. It took me a minute, but I remember your post. I can't remember what I said. I remember.
I know you posted a link and I meant to go back to it, but I got busy doing things and I didn't. So I'm like, I became a mom. Well, let's see. It starts when I was 4 years old. Honestly, I had a special needs sister. She was born with a rare skin disease called epidermolysis bullosa. Okay. My parents used to have, and I had to change her bandages all the time. People thought she was a burn patient, and she was a wonderful person. Oh, so strong. And she became my best friend through the years. At first, when I was a teenager, I was like, oh my God, I had enough of her. But yeah. Then as I got older, you know, she's like my soulmate. And she passed away September 12th, 2009. But I grew up taking care of her. My parents divorced, so I took care of my dad too, because I did the laundry and I did the cooking and I did the cleaning. And now it's like, because I don't have a husband, mm-hmm. it's like there's nothing left for me to do. There's no more purpose.
Is that true?
Well, I have a thought that says, yeah, your purpose is to take care of you.
Yeah. God, that's a quiet little thought back there. It's kind of just, yeah, what about me? What about me?
Hey.
What if that's your purpose? Been an amazing mom, an amazing sister, an amazing caretaker. You've shown up in big ways for a lot of people. And now's the time for you to show up for you. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
It could be really exciting.
Yeah, scary.
Well, you know, I like to think about, you know, I don't know if you know this, I'm the anxiety coach. Like I could tell you some paralyzing stories, like the fact that I can get up here and talk to y'all. like I'll go down a bunny trail. I raised my hand. I spoke up twice in a team meeting today, and that's like more than I've spoken up in the last 3 years. But I was triggered four times. Christy, I see your comment. Four times I like was paralyzed with anxiety. I was like, fuck no, I'm going to speak. So the energy of being scared and anxiety, they resonate at the same level, right? So your body is just recognizing that. You're calling it fear. I'm scared. But you could also be like, yeah, this is really exciting. You could tell yourself the same feeling, but just a different thought. Like, could this be exciting? Could I be really, what if I wasn't scared and I was excited about the possibility of my life? I've raised my children. I got a great relationship with my hairdresser. She likes she likes to see me on the regular.
Yeah.
But every day is just going to be new. You get to decide. You get to, hey, and you're making 24-hour plans with no BS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Showing up. You got a community of people here who are more than willing. I know the link I gave you too. I did a call in the 55 plus group. You're not there yet, but it's all about reconnecting to your purpose.
Oh.
Yes. Kind of like going through your values, which y'all, if you haven't ever done your values, it's something that is so cool to know about yourself. Like, what do I value? Like we kind of like get in our brain and we get intellectual about it, but we don't really know. So it's interesting to like put it out and have it on a piece of paper and do the process of elimination. Like, what do I value? And values change depending on what we're trying to go towards. And you're just kind of at that phase in life where your values are changing. Your children are grown and now you get to focus on you. And this is not a problem. This is just different.
I like that. This is not a problem. This is just different. I've heard you say that a few times tonight and I wrote it down in my notes.
Well, that's good. It resonates with my brain because my brain wants to make things a problem too. And then I have to show it. This is not a problem.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so what do you got to go take care of now? You know, what has to be done? And then when I sit there and I think to myself, well, if they're all gone, and maybe that is anxiety because Becca's not leaving until March 26th.
Okay.
My son doesn't leave until August. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is just anxiety being, okay, what, there'll be nothing to jump to.
Well, why do we have to jump now?
There's no reason to.
No.
It's just trying to be it's my brain trying to get me prepared.
Well, and also, why else would your brain be offering up anxiety? Because what else comes when they're gone? Like reminding yourself, I'm going to miss them.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss
tremendously. Well, you know, I there's countless moms out here. Everybody knows how much they love their kids and everything is their kids.
Yeah. It's pretty popular.
I tell you, when I worked for wrote in there some of my jobs, when I worked for the sheriff's department, if it hadn't been for them, I probably would have quit a long time before for a better, worse job than the one I took afterwards. But I had them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just... Go on.
So let me ask you this, Jennifer. So your daughter leaves March 26th. And when did you say September your son leaves?
End of August. He's going to go to the University at Buffalo.
Woo! All right. That sounds close to Canada.
Well, yeah. We're in Marcellus, New York, which is near Syracuse. So we're close to Canada, a couple hours away.
I would like to see Niagara Falls once, but...
Oh, it's beautiful.
I've seen photos. I'm dreaming about it. but thinking about remembering, like, you still have time. Your brain is so far gone. Like, it's so off into the future, which is what I'm going to tell you, that is what anxiety does. It literally, when you have anxiety, it kind of like leaves your body in the dust. Like, your body's in the present moment, but our thoughts have gone so far ahead that we're just kind of immobile. We don't know what to do. We just keep telling stories. So really getting present with yourself, really understanding that my brain's just gone to the future and I'm going to bring my thoughts right back. I want to keep my thoughts and my feet in the present moment. Because if my thoughts aren't with me where my feet are under this desk right here, right now, that's a problem because it's telling stories. Because what matters is being right here, right now, my thoughts at my feet together. And how do I want to show up when I have this, you know, I don't know, 30 days left with my daughter? How do I want to, what do I want to spend that time? Do I want to be spinning off in anxiety and fear? Or do I want to be, you know, focusing in on laying my eyes on her every day and just like soaking her up, just trying to catch every photo of her I can with my brain and my memory and making a good time showing up and smiling at her face, just like you're doing right now on the same fun. Like you, they're not even gone yet, but in your brain, it's just, whew,
we're coming,
coming back and being present. One day at a time.
Did I tell you, I'm so glad I got to, when I was listening to everybody, I'm like, well, maybe I don't need, maybe I shouldn't have, you know, put in to be coached, but my, like my heart and everything had been heavy and hurt. Mm-hmm. And, like that feeling's gone away. Mm-hmm. Hearing that. And now I've got, so bring my feet back, bring my brain back to my feet. Yes.
Oh, hello thoughts that are already having me like 65 living alone. No, like
making problems that aren't there.
Yes. Trying to predict the future, trying to find certainty. What is certain is your daughter's home right now, and so is your son. And we've got one day at a time, just like everybody else. And that telling stories is never going to be helpful. And you've got time to find your values and reconnect with your purpose while they're still here. While they're still at your house. Don't wait until they're out the door. Like, make a point one night a week. Jennifer heads out. She's doing something. She's got a little checklist of things that she wants to get reconnected to with that maybe she wanted to do as a kid that she didn't get time to do or something she was interested in. Maybe it's going to volunteer at the Humane Society because you love pets and you want to be a vet. I don't know. I'm going off on a limb here.
Oh my gosh, but that is so true. I did. My fifth grade yearbook said I was going to be a veterinarian.
Maybe that's what we go explore. Maybe we volunteer at a spay neuter clinic and just hang out and just volunteer our time and get finding purpose and reconnecting with what you're the younger version of you. Wanted to do can be very rewarding at this stage in life.
So you're telling me life's not over?
Oh, hell no. It's just beginning, Jennifer.
Yay.
It gets better, I promise.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And one more thing before we go. I am so thankful for this community and what you guys do. I mean, it's up and down. You know, all this stuff, and I've lost weight before, but I never kept it off. I never did this stuff. And it's because of you guys that women like me out there who are like, you can't bring us back and be like, whoa, girl.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing and for being part of our community and for loving on us too, because that's what we're here for. We're here to help.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome very much, Jennifer. You take care of you, okay?
Yeah, I will.
All right. All my best. Say hello to those animals at the Humane Society.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. That is a wrap. We did go over. Coach Christy, thank you so much for hanging with me late tonight. Y'all, we just love you. And thank you for showing up tonight. And we will see you on the flip side. All right. Bye, y'all.